Money.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
I'm Sonny Kidman.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar, The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived, always liked the good rack. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Coming down the aisle will be the former champion, and you'll hear his music.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Where is your savior? Surprise, surprise. He ain't here for you. But you know who is? I am. I am here for you just like I have been every day since I have been around.
With your host,
Dear Kitty. Dear Kitty.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
All you have to do is believe.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. I am your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, slash believer, Sir Rockin.
All you gotta do is believe. You know...
Hey.
It wasn't intended to open with a song for another reason. It's just an old Elimination Chamber song. But the phrase, this means war...
It's kind of fitting.
Very fitting.
Very fitting for what we're getting ready to talk about. As we said on the pre-show to the stuffs, we have a ton of stuff to get into tonight. We are going to be talking all about the Destination America situation. We will get into that in just a few seconds. But we're also talking a couple other quick news items. We're going to be talking Elimination Chamber, NXT, SmackDown. We're going to break all that down for you, but I say we don't waste any time. I say we jump right into the biggest story of the week, brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com and TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. And I think we have to start with the hottest item and the most interesting wrinkle to this long ongoing story.
You mean the new TV deal for a certain local Georgia promotion?
Yeah, totally.
Oh,
totally.
Wrong.
Right industry, right topic, wrong promotion.
Wrong TV deal. My bad.
Yeah. Last week we reported there were rumors swirling about TNA's TV deal. There were problems between TNA and Destination America. Well, it's extremely coincidental that broke, because this week, actually yesterday, it was announced that ROH has officially inked a TV deal with Destination America. It's going to be starting June 3rd. It will be airing at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It's going to be the lead-in for Impact, which is still airing at 9 on Wednesdays. And it's got a 26-week deal, so it's going to take it to the end of the year.
Yeah, they're both on the same little network now. As a lead-in.
Kind of. And what's weird about this, and you brought this up, and I want to bring this up on the show, is that very interesting that TNA did not get the exclusive rights to have wrestling on Destination America.
Yeah, that this whole exclusivity clause, not there at all. With it, because you would think, oh, hey, we should keep our rival promotion off the same network.
And like I said, extremely coincidental that this TV deal got announced amidst the rumors that TNA is in trouble with Destination America. We are going to talk all about TNA's future, but just to kind of fill you in a little bit more on the ROH deal, it will be the same show that airs on Sinclair, so it will air as it does at its normal day and time on the Sinclair networks, and then it will air on Destination America on Wednesdays at 8.
Yeah.
So it is now syndicated.
Well, because Sinclair is basically syndicated television. It is now in the major markets, Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, which wasn't available before. So it's in the higher and the top broadcasting markets, for people, which is a great thing for Ring of Honor. One thing, the show will be basically the same, I should clarify, it'll be basically the same show that airs on Sinclair, just 3 minutes shorter. So some of the local ads they have the talent do for Sinclair stations won't air in the Destination America version.
Right.
The Sinclair version is 46 minutes, Destination America is 42. So that's a minor change.
Yeah, very, very, very minor change. Just a couple other quick little notes on it, that ROH will replay following Impact, so it's going to play at 8 and...
Then 8 again on the West Coast, so 11 Eastern.
11 Eastern, yeah.
8 Pacific.
So...
Because it's like, there's no West Coast feed for Destination America. That's why Impact airs, you know, replays. I would assume Impact's going to then replay again, but I don't have that confirmed.
Yeah, there is no confirmation on whether there's an Impact replay, but there is an ROH replay for the Pacific feeds, because obviously Destination America doesn't have a straight Pacific feed, so they're just going to replay it again for the Pacific viewers.
Yeah, like channels like HGTV does, and etc.
Yeah. So, also, another note, there is no relationship between TNA and ROH, so if you're hoping for any kind of invasion angle... That's not going to happen.
Not happening. No. We should mention this deal has been in the works for a few months. And it's very coincidental, but they've been working on this.
What's interesting about this deal is nobody knew. Only 3 people in ROH knew.
Yes.
Nobody in TNA knew that this was going on.
Nope, they were blindsided.
So, I told Rock this when it came out. It kind of speaks to the relationship between TNA and Destination America a little bit, that Destination America negotiated another wrestling product without telling TNA. Like, I understand they're under no obligation to.
Which we'll get into more of that in a little bit.
We'll get into more of that in a little bit, because we're going to just go through all the facts and everything that's kind of come out through this, but it kind of sort of shows the relationship between the two.
Sides are not, the perception is the sides aren't really working well together.
No. That's the perception, is that there's some friction between the two sides.
At least in our opinion. We're just stating opinions. These are not, that is not a fact.
Yeah. So, another quick couple notes. There was talk of ROH heading to Spike TV with live specials, but obviously the deal never materialized. They also had a deal with NESN, the New England Sports Network.
I should say they have a deal with them. And that starts either this weekend or next weekend. I think June 7th, the weekend of June 7th, that starts
right up.
So that will also be the syndicated show, which New England Sports Network, NESN, is a big network up there. So that was a great move for them to begin with. So now they're in the New England area. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. ROH is growing by leaps and bounds. They're getting a larger TV deal, which will help give them plenty of more exposure, which is exactly what they need.
Yeah, it really is exactly what they need. And now you would ask, so why is this a good move for ROH and not a good move for TNA going to Destination America? Because I know that's a question that's probably been circulating. People are wondering. It's like, think of where TNA was. Think of where Ring of Honor was. Them moving to a cable network that's all over the country, step up. Spike TV, Destination America, step down.
Yeah, essentially, ROH has taken over the number 2 spot because they are now in more homes than TNA. So ROH has now become number two, and here, TNA has become number three.
ROH has become number two here in the States.
Yeah, here in the States.
Yes. Elsewhere, TNA has all the international deals.
Yeah, and I'm sure at some point when ROH has the ability to get those, they probably will get those.
But this is a nice step now. This further exposure for 26 weeks, it's a great move for them. It's a step in the right direction.
Oh, absolutely. And there's nothing saying that after 26 weeks, if it does well, that Destination America won't keep ROH.
And one of the key factors is it's cheap programming for Destination America because they want to be in the wrestling business. They want wrestling on their network. This is awesome for them because this is wrestling, affordable wrestling, because they don't have to do any, there's no cost of production. This is a Sinclair show. They're just getting a tape and airing it. They're pressing,
pretty much.
They're just pressing play. That's all they're doing.
They're paying for the rights, which is a lot cheaper than paying for the production of a wrestling show through TNA.
Which is what they're doing, and we'll talk more about that as we go through.
Right. What we should note is that, well, these next set of TV tapings for ROH will be very, very, very interesting for everybody involved, because as of right now, and he hasn't been pulled, Samoa Joe is currently scheduled to compete at the next set of TV tapings, teaming up with AJ Styles to take on Daniels and Kaz.
The addiction taking on AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, four friends battling one ring.
And I believe on the debut episode on Destination.
No, it's not the debut, because the debut is this Wednesday coming up.
It'll
be about 4 weeks, in 4 weeks from now.
Okay, fair enough.
4 or 5 weeks from now. It'll be right after a pay-per-view.
Excuse me.
It'll be, so, yeah, it'll probably be the first week in July, probably.
That's still
huge. That's a huge money matchup right there. I don't think they fought like that many times in TNA. Maybe once. Maybe.
I don't know if that combination ever happened in TNA.
No.
It may have.
We know Daniels, Joe, and Styles have wrestled. I don't know if Kazarian's been involved with them, so...
Yeah, I don't think Kaz was ever involved.
So that's kind of a special matchup right there. And here's a little behind the scenes of this show. That was going to be our lead story going into Wednesday. Like, I had everything mapped out in my head on Tuesday. Told Lindsay what it was going to be.
Yeah, the news was going to take 15 minutes this week.
We're already at 17 minutes after the hour here, live. So we're about 15 minutes live into the show, actual show.
Yeah, but, and then this happened.
And then this happened, so it's just a little bit of an insight on how we're doing things.
Yeah.
So this is a big deal. This is an awesome move for Ring of Honor to step up. I know I'm going to actually try to watch the show, not live, but because there's NXT, but I'm going to start DVRing the show and trying to follow along a little bit just to see what's going on. Because that's been the problem. Like, I finally got HDNet. They were on HDNet. Then they left HDNet like a month later. I was like, oh, can't really get into that.
Yeah, it's really hard to find ROH. I think I found it right before I moved back to Georgia out west. And then I was like, oh, that's a bummer.
I think it is on in Georgia now.
I think it is too. I just don't know what channel it's on. It's very, very difficult to find. So the fact that it's on Destination America, I'm very curious to check it out. And so I may, if they're going to replay it at 8 Pacific time.
Uh-huh.
I may see if they're replaying it here at 11, which is the same time.
It would be 11 here. It would be 11 Eastern. It would be 11 Eastern.
May try to either DVR it or watch it a little bit of it live before I pass out and go to sleep, but...
It'll be interesting, because here's the thing. Before we get to the TNA part, the internet's been talking about this. It's the Wednesday Night War.
Yeah.
You got loads of wrestling on. Let's think about this. You got NXT.
Lucha Underground.
Lucha Underground is wrapping up its first season and should be coming back for a second season. That airs on Wednesday nights. I think at 9.
TNA.
TNA airing at 9. Ring of Honor.
Airing at 8.
Airing at 8. And in Canada, you have SmackDown.
Yeah. This is like a super block for wrestling now. And I was telling you this, and I've been thinking about this. This could spawn something very unique between TNA and ROH, and could essentially spawn a Wednesday night war between the two, because now, with them going back-to-back against each other, one's going to try to outdo the other potentially because they want to attract the most viewers.
Right, and Dixie said something to that effect, and we'll get to that here in a second. But yeah, this could be a great move if Destination America keeps TNA, because now you have a wrestling block. You're able to, one of the big things is not able to sell advertising. Now you're selling a block full of wrestling. You can sell it to one specific advertiser. Here's 6 hours. You have 6 hours. Here's this average amount of viewers. What do you want to do?
Exactly. So we'll have to see how the block goes. Another quick note on ROH before we move on. They have also signed a licensing agreement with a figure toy company to develop, market, and manufacture a line of collectible accessories based on wrestlers and World of Ring of Honor. The World of Ring of Honor. You can't type.
No, that's how the release read it.
Whoever wrote the release can't type.
Yeah, so.
We'll include action figures, throwback figures, Kevin Steen in the first set, along with replica titles. And I've actually seen the shots of the figures. They're very well modeled.
Yeah.
It actually looks like Cheeseburger. I may have to get one.
Yeah, this is not a major company, but it's a nice company. They're going to develop a lot of stuff for them, which is very, very cool. Again, this was the number two story on our list.
Yeah. Now we're going to get into TNA.
Now, before we get into the conference call. Because I know what? Okay. What do you want to do?
Just go.
No, go with what you're going to do.
I was just going to go into the conference call, so go.
No, because I want to set up before the conference call.
All right, set it up.
I want to read the memo first.
Oh, you want to read the... Go ahead.
Because then...
We have a memo.
We have the... This is the memo that was Destination America was sending around on the cancellation. Okay? This is word for word. Destination America is not renewing TNA wrestling next year. While the ratings were strong, the audience was not large enough to justify the program investment. We plan to honor the current contract and continue to air original episodes of TNA wrestling on Friday nights through the end of the third quarter, 2015. When the upfront rate card is released, the Friday night anthology title will now be called American Tales, which will be a combination of paranormal and Americana programming. I hope this is good news given all of the advertisers that included TNA on their DNA list. Now, the DNA list is for when advertisers buy time on the station as a whole instead of just a specific show. The DNA, or Do Not Advertise list, is something sponsors list for shows they specifically don't want their ads on. That's why TNA is having trouble with Destination America, because they're on the DNA list.
Yep, which supports everything that we've been hearing, that it's not necessarily a contentious relationship between the network and TNA in terms of any type of ill will, but it's just TNA isn't profitable. And for smaller networks like Destination America, they need all the money that they can get. And so to have a show that's expensive to produce and it's not recouping the investment as either as fast or as much as they want or at all, it's going to be gotten rid of very quickly.
I heard this earlier on Wrestling Observer Live, which is a live radio show daily. They use this analogy. Say your advertising rate is $250,000, right?
Right.
But you're costing $1 million to produce an episode. You're $750,000 in the hole.
Yep.
It's logic. That's not the actual numbers, but those are just specific, just an example number.
Yeah.
You're only getting X amount for advertising and it's only covering 1/4 the cost, you're now in the hole 3/4 of price, you know. can't really do anything about that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's business, it's logic, it's a lot of things. So, you know, this is not a personal decision. Now, like we said at the top of the show, Destination America deciding to announce the ROH deal amidst all the TNA rumors, and they're not commenting on anything to do with TNA, feels like a little bit of a middle finger to TNA, just a tiny bit, and I think that might have been what it was, just because there's rumors that, well, Dixie sent an email to the wrong people and may have pissed people off.
Yeah, a lot of wrestlers have heard about said email, but they cannot confirm it?
Yeah, it's just a rumor. Nobody knows if it's actually true, but...
It's a story everyone's heard, but no one wants to say yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anybody's going to confirm it.
No, I don't think anyone wants to confirm it, because if you send an email to a president of a certain network...
Yeah.
Maybe that was not the smartest idea Dixie Carter's ever made.
Bashing said network, by the way.
Yeah.
But now to kind of jump into what TNA's future holds, and we're going to kind of talk a little bit about the conference call. Now, originally, when all these rumors started, Dixie said that they would address it at TV in a couple weeks. Well, we went from addressing this at TV to a conference call with all the talent yesterday at 3 p.m. when the story from ROH broke. Like we said earlier, TNA was completely blindsided by the ROH announcement. Everybody found out via social media. Some people were very welcoming of ROH. Some people were semi-welcoming. Some people were not so happy. And then there was MVP who just kind of went off.
He wasn't happy. It's not about Ring of Honor. It's about hearing that they're coming to their network via social media and the company not telling them what's going on. That was his biggest problem. He's going on the record saying he has no problem with Ring of Honor coming to the network, welcome to the family, whatever. But he was not happy learning things on the internet rather than being told from the horse's mouth, aka TNA Wrestling.
Right.
That's been a lot of problems with the company. Taz said it on his podcast. Like, if I was a wrestler, I wouldn't have gone on this conference call. I would be upset that you're learning things on the internet rather than the company flat out telling you what's going on.
Yeah. But then again, the company is making it seem like they don't really know what's going on either, so.
Yeah, what you're gonna get into.
Yeah, I'm gonna get into. So, TNA basically held a conference call with their talent. These are just some of the notes that came out of it. The talent were told that due to the nature of the contract between the two parties, Destination America and TNA, that neither side can publicly comment on the relationship along with why that's the same reason they cannot comment on the reports that the network has an out clause in September.
All right, stop there. Really? Really? You can't publicly? Fine. Tell your talent.
I find that a little odd. I mean, I understand that you can't comment on any ongoing negotiations. You can't comment on any type of meetings that you potentially have with the network. But I mean, you guys are signed. You have a deal. So we know you have a working relationship with the network. The fact that, well, we can't say whether we're in good standing with the network or not, or we have a good working relationship with them, or that we are in fact canceled. Because here's the thing. We read the memo. It's out there.
It's out there now. It came out last night. There's the memo. We read it at the start of this part of the discussion. It's out
so
there.
So the memo is out. Somebody's leaked it.
It came from Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer. He put it in because so many people have been asking him about it. They've been asking what he said, because he used canceled and says not renewed. So he put the entire thing out there for people. Here's what was said. Simple and to the point.
And I mean, it seems a little ridiculous that you can't comment on, like, I understand if you don't want to comment on the situation, but saying that, oh, well, you know, it's in our contract that we can't say anything.
That's one, a bad contract. Two.
Yeah.
You should be able to say, we are happy with our situation here on Destination America and hope to continue our relationship with Destination America going on for a very long time. Simple. That's all you have to say. Something simple like that.
Yep, pretty much.
But you're not even commenting. So now you're just leaving it out there. Here's all the speculation. Because all the things we're reading now were what talent told reporters. That's it. And they weren't even supposed to say much. And you can see there's not much said.
But there's not much said, but there's plenty said.
Yeah, and just in small little words, you can pick up on a lot. And we'll get more into it in a second. But it's like, you should be able to comment on what's going on.
Yep.
But instead, you leave this all out there in the open. Here's everyone can comment, speculate. Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, forums boards, news sites, blog, anything you can imagine. People can talk about it now because it's available for talking. And until you can shoot it down, you or Destination America, everyone's going to say, here's what's going on. We know you're screwed. Because you won't tell us you're not.
Yeah, that's the thing that we said last week. That's the thing that we've been kind of waiting for. When I say we, I mean the wrestling community, is that TNA, while they're saying that the reports are defamatory and they're derogatory, and that statements are incorrectly attributed to the wrong executives, that nowhere in their actual official statement concerning this situation in terms of their show being canceled, do they say that it's false.
Right. They've never said a one.
Destination America has refused to comment.
Yeah. I know this for a fact. They're not commenting.
So it's like, you know, all anybody really wants is confirmation of what's going on. That's all we need is, you know, an official statement coming out from the network or coming out from TNA that says, no, the show is not canceled. No, we've been renewed. You know, everything is fine. And so it's like the talent are being told one thing and there are official statements coming out that are kind of saying another thing. And there's a lot of confusion right now pertaining to this. And the ROH deal doesn't help because it's like, yeah, they could have brought ROH on to be a lead-in for Impact to try and bolster Impact's ratings, to sell more advertising, or they brought ROH in to replace Impact. It's a cheaper show for them to run. They buy the rights to air it, they get a videotape, or they get a DVD, or however they do it, and they play it.
That's
it. They don't have any type of production involved with it.
All they do is splice in their own commercials.
All they do is splice in their own commercials, and that's it. It's a much cheaper show for them to run.
Yeah.
Now, they may have the same problems in terms of selling advertising for it. I don't know.
But here's the thing. We'll go back to the money analogy. So you're selling $250,000 worth of advertising, right?
Right.
Well, say the show you're paying for is only $125,000.
You're still making money.
You're making money because now you're not paying as much for the content you're airing, so you can actually make money off of it. It's that simple.
Yeah.
That's television. It's that simple.
It's the money factor. It's the cost factor. So that's kind of what everybody's waiting for. However, Dixie did say on the conference call that the stories were false and they are planning for a 2016 season.
Yeah.
I don't understand why that couldn't be said in the official documentation.
But you know, they can't. Before you continue on, I want to make one more point. Because we talked about this last night. This goes back to Spike TV.
Yeah, the same thing happened with Spike.
Cheap, affordable content. What you gonna do when they come for you? Cops. Highest rated show on it was the lead into Impact. Cheap, affordable, syndicated content can sell advertising. Make money.
Oh.
Why is TNA not on Spike? That's one of the reasons.
Yeah, and, well, TNA lied, but
mainly can't make money on the product.
Yeah, they can't. They're not profitable. An interesting comment that came out of this is Dixie Carter told them, you know, basically told the troops that it was up to them to show the world why they are the best company in the world and the best wrestling product in the world, and that they, being the talent, control their own destiny.
Okay. All right. Well, step up, guys. It's not on us anymore. It's on you. We're turning it on you guys to step up and have the best matches and the best creative. Oh, wait, you guys aren't in charge of your own creative. But you have the best matches with the small time we're giving you, and go.
And like I said, this could create a very interesting dynamic between ROH and TNA in which they compete with each other. And we all know that when wrestling products compete with each other, generally, that's when they go at their best, is because they're trying to outdo each other. They're trying to prove they are the better product. So this could do something really, really good for both ROH and TNA, or it could prove bad for somebody. I don't know. Given the state of TNA's creative, who the hell knows?
Best,
you know?
Best comparison right now. WWE, WWE, NXT.
Yep.
NXT is driven. They are hungry. They want to prove that to be the best in the world. It's now up to, and what here's the difference. You have a bunch of late 30-year-olds in TNA. Are they really looking to prove they are the best in the world? Or do you have hungry guys in Ring of Honor trying to prove they are the best in the world? That will be interesting to see. My gut tells me it's Ring of Honor rather than TNA.
Yep, I would agree with that. One thing that was brought up on the call by one of the wrestlers was the pay issues. Dixie said that they are in the past.
Well,
and
they are.
Don't need to be worried.
It's been a month. You said that last year too. But anyway, continue.
Continue, yes. Some of the wrestlers stated that they felt better now that everything has been told and they are no longer in the dark. Well, one of the wrestlers said it was like a circus call. And another said nothing of substance was truly being addressed. There were a lot of personal issues that came up on the call. Basically, it was kind of a free-for-all between people.
Everything was put out on the table. Some good, some bad. We'll see how it goes. But they're not back to work for another 3-4 weeks. So, a lot can happen in 4 weeks.
a lot can happen in 4 weeks, as we've seen. A lot happened in just a week. So that's what was addressed on the conference call.
All right, before you continue next point, right? I want to ask the question. What would happen if TNA had to promote Ring of Honor on their television?
They would cry.
But think about it. It's a television network. You have to promote the content on the television network like they do with the other shows on the network. What's going to happen when Josh Matthews has to promote Ring of Honor on Destination America?
Well, vice versa. What's going to happen when Ring of Honor has to promote?
They won't have to because, remember, they're only airing...
Oh, they're syndicated. That's right.
They're airing the syndicated show. Destination America has no influence in on Ring of Honor. Their influence is with TNA. That's the difference between the two agreements. They have no interest. Destination America has called shots in TNA. They've directed TNA who they want to see as champions, Kurt Angle and Taryn Terrell. Those were Destination America decisions, not TNA decisions.
Well, as we know, the network holds a lot of influence over the product. Spike held a lot of influence over TNA. That's why you saw guys like Sting and Angle and Hogan and the like get signed, because Spike wanted big names, and Spike was willing to pay to get big names. You know, Destination America is obviously going to have their sway over TNA as well, because they're paying their bills. So they get a say. In terms of Josh Matthews or TNA having to promote ROH, it's an eventuality. It's going to have to happen.
It's going to be very awkward when it happens.
It's going to be extremely awkward when it happens, but, you know, it's basically, it's no different than if they have to advertise Swamp Man. You know, it's another show on the network.
Right, but this is your competition. It's just very interesting.
Oh, it's extremely interesting. It's one of those things where they're not going to like it, but they're going to do it.
They're going to have to do it, yeah.
That's just how this is going to go. Or there's the door. Don't let it hit you in the ass on the way out.
Pretty much, yeah.
Another couple quick TNA notes, or semi-quick TNA notes. Christy Hemme is reportedly leaving TNA Creative. You know, she may stick around to be a ring announcer for the company, but that's yet to be determined.
Yeah, apparently she's leaving the company, but there was talk she may stick around just do ring announcing. We'll see. She's a mom now, so she may be, I think she has another job in another field, so she can't be full-time with TNA. So if they need her for ring announcing, she may stick around and do that. But she found other work, and she's a mother, and I would take any work I can get if I'm a TNA talent.
Yeah. That brings up another interesting topic with all the rumors circulating with just everything kind of going on. You have to wonder where some of the talent's heads are at. If I were them and my contract was getting ready to come up, I would seriously think about it. I would seriously have to think about staying. Because you're hearing all these rumors that the company is in trouble. The company isn't making money. The company's lost their U.S. TV deal. There's all these rumors circulating. There's no confirmation coming from anywhere. And this is, you know, obviously prior, this thought process is prior to the conference call. I wouldn't necessarily believe anything coming out of Dixie's mouth, seeing as she's a known liar. She'll put her own spin on stuff. And the fact, until I see it come out of Destination America's mouth, that the TV deal is solid, I'd be looking for other work.
But one team that's not going to be looking for other work is the Wolves. For the second time this year, they re-signed with the company. Think about that. Second time this year. Second time.
Are they only signing like 6-month deals?
I have a feeling that's what they're... I think they're doing short-term... At least the Wolves signed a short-term deal. I have a feeling that a lot of these deals, they keep saying, we've re-signed so-and-so. These are short-term deals. These ain't long-term deals. These may be 6 to a year long deals.
Yeah, I would say they're not going any longer than a year. Unless it's a long, long-term talent, they're not going.
And even then, you don't currently have a future until September. Anyway.
Yeah, see, if I was anybody on that roster, I would negotiate a deal for September and then see where it goes from there. Because that's supposedly the drop date for TNA is in September. And then after that, it's kind of what do you do? If they lose their TV deal, you don't have anywhere to go. They don't seem to have a backup plan in place for if they do, in fact, lose this TV deal. Nobody's hearing anything in terms of a backup plan. And they're supposed to do touring dates, but we'll have to see if those actually happen because some of them have already gotten pulled. So it's like, if I was honestly a wrestler, if I was actually honestly an employee of that company, I'd be looking for other work.
Better be updating those LinkedIn profiles.
Yeah. I'd be setting up a backup plan. just in case, because you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen, and September's going to be here in a blink of an eye. So it's like, you could come to September and you have a, you know, you have a job for another 6 months or however long the deal is. Great. Or you come into work and you find out, hey, our TV deal's been canceled. We don't have a plan. We're shutting down.
And this leads into, what would Austin Aries do? Because apparently, this is true. His contract is coming up really, really soon. If you're him, maybe I'd think twice. I would think twice about re-signing.
Dude, if I was Austin Aries, I would try to go for either ROH or WWE. I would at least take a shot at WWE, because if Joe can get in, and supposedly they're interested in AJ, I'd go try out for him. Worst they can say is no. You know, that's the absolute worst that they can say is no, and he's got people on the inside that could get him in.
It all really depends. But yeah, so that's the story.
But I have a question for you.
What's that?
In your opinion, because, well, we all have goals. Given everything that we've discussed, what do you think TNA's goal is?
To survive.
You stole my answer.
I know. To survive, because that's what we... This basically bring up what we talked about last night in show prepping the show. What is their long-term goal? We knew what it was before. They wanted to... prime example, we talked about what Ring of Honor did. They've moved up. Now they're on a national network, going from local syndication to national syndication. That's a big step up. TNA started as a weekly pay-per-view, to local Friday afternoon television, to primetime television on a Saturday night, or a late night on Saturday night, primetime on Saturday night, primetime on Thursday, kept moving up. They were a full-time pay-per-view company. Now they're doing one a year.
Yeah.
Because Bound for Glory didn't count.
Yeah, we've seen TNA expand, and now they're retracting.
So what is their goal? What is their end game? Who are you building up? Are you building up EC3 to be a star for the next decade? But what are you building him to? Who are you building your company around? What's your future? I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody sees it at this point.
You look at Global Force Wrestling that's debuting. They have a plan in place on what they want to do.
Yeah, GFW has a very clear plan. ROH has a very clear plan. NXT has a very clear plan. And then there's the main roster, Raw and SmackDown, that... They have a plan. They've already enacted it.
WWE's goal is WWE Network.
Yeah, and they've enacted that, and they're working on that. The only people that don't seem to have a goal right now is Impact Wrestling, because you just beyond just surviving at this point. Because everything you hear about them is like, you know, this is in shambles, and this is a problem, and this is a problem. You're not hearing a lot of positive coming out of TNA, which is really discouraging. And as a fan of the product. I know we don't talk about it a lot, but as a fan of the product, it's hard to watch this company that you've seen grow over the last 10, 12 years shrink and shrivel to the point that it's at now.
The best
because
way... Go ahead.
Because at one time, TNA had a super bright future. Super bright. And then just it faded.
This is basically why you talk about a television show. What is it? Why am I going to watch this show when I don't know its future? Why am I going to invest my time learning characters, getting behind characters, learning what they're all about if there is no future? With TNA, how can you get behind these talent and care for them like you did in the last decade when there is no future?
Well, another side note is, why should I invest in these talents when in 6 months' time they may be either on WWE TV or ROH TV?
Same thing, yeah. You can't get behind them because you don't know.
It's just, it's really hard to watch TNA and see what's happened with TNA and know that at one point they could have been so much more.
You can put on the best wrestling show in the world, but if there's no reason to care about the long-term interest in it, why?
Yeah.
I want people to think about this. Why? Why invest in TNA right now when you don't know its future? It's a really good question. I like TNA. I watch it every single week, but I have a hard time caring about the outcome because I just don't... There's no future. At least when I was on Spike TV, you knew what they were doing. Knew they,
right.
had, they had a solid future. Now you don't know. Because this is the second time in a year, and this is the last point I want to make, because we talked about this last night. They just came, last year they moved from Thursday to Wednesday, right?
Right.
On their way out. Signed a new deal for Friday nights. Bing Bam Boom. Solid. Great push. 18 plus hours of content, replays, special shows. Special shows got canceled. You're down to one replay, and now you've moved the day 6 months in. That, to me, that's not stability.
Oh no. You're getting moved from Fridays to Wednesdays, and they're signing a competing product to be your lead-in. That doesn't spell nice things for you, because like I said, they could have signed ROH as a way to boost TNA, or they could have signed ROH to replace TNA. The next couple months are going to prove extremely critical to see who actually does better, because there's a chance that ROH could bolster TNA, and if that's the case and TNA starts to make money, then Destination America may change their mind and they may keep TNA.
Right, because here we go back to the memo. We plan to honor the contract and continue to air original episodes of TNA Wrestling on Friday nights through the end of the third quarter. When the upfront rate card is released, the Friday night anthology title will be called American Tales, which will be a combination of paranormal and Americana programming, because we're not renewing TNA next year. So far, part one is complete. They are no longer on Friday nights. They can rebrand their Friday night. Step two is up to TNA.
Yeah. So, I mean, if TNA does well on Wednesday nights, they may keep them on Wednesday nights. But if ROH does better than TNA, and ROH proves more profitable than TNA, guess who's going out the door?
The story's there. It's in black and white.
This is kind of a multi-purpose thing. This is, let's see if we can salvage TNA, but in case we can't, we now have a backup plan for if TNA goes away, because if they're back-to-back like they are, and one goes away, nobody's gonna necessarily miss it. Cause in a lot of people's minds, it's like there's the hardcore wrestling fans who will obviously miss it. But in a lot of the casual watchers' minds, it's wrestling. It's 3 hours of wrestling. Oh, hey, look, it went down to two. Or it went down to one.
It went down to one, and now I have time to actually watch WWE NXT.
Right. So that's what's kind of interesting about this whole situation is, what's actually going on and what TNA's goals are, but also what Destination America's goals are. And you can kind of see what Destination America is trying to do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's evident.
And it's not a good thing for TNA if in fact everything is true and their deal is done and they're getting kicked off in September. Because, as we said last week, again, purely speculative, if TNA does in fact lose their US TV deal, they're dead in the water in the United States. They still have their international deals, but that's not enough to support them.
Nope.
And honestly, after getting dropped by both Spike and Destination America, nobody's going to want them. Because you and I went through the major networks. They've already burned through Viacom. They're going to burn through Discovery. NBC isn't going to want them because they've got WWE.
And Disney won't want them.
Disney won't want them because they're not going to associate with wrestling.
Fox Sports, maybe, but that's going to be on the low-end Fox Sports too, which no one has. So, yeah, there's not many networks. Nothing.
Yeah. Their options to get on TV are becoming increasingly limited, and when you have shows like GFW and ROH, who's also still trying to expand, out there competing for the same networks, TNA may not be given the chance based on their track record, based on their history, because they went from being on 9 years with Spike and Spike ended badly to going to Destination America. They get canceled in 6 months amid rumors and amid a bad ending potentially. No network's going to want them. Nobody's going to want to touch them. They're going to have to pay to get on TV, and that's a worst case scenario. That's not what you want. So the next up until September, from now till September, I'd be watching really closely to see what goes on.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Cause shit's about to hit the fan in a big way.
I think we're done for this segment.
Yeah, I think we're done with this portion of the news. I'm sorry, there's a lot of news. So we're gonna take a break, and when we come back, we're gonna get to the rest of the news. We're gonna hit some NXT and some SmackDown. We'll let you know what's going on there.
We're also going to preview later the Elimination Chamber.
Yes, later we're doing Elimination Chamber. You don't want to miss that. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. We are the black sheep, dirty freak, red-headed stepchild. We are the born bad nomad, turn it up and get
latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Greetings and salutations, listeners. This is Christopher Daniels, and among many things, I am a pillar of society, an inspiration to children everywhere, and the man with the rear that makes the girls cheer. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap on Wild Talk Radio. And now, you are too.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And we're back with more news in NXT! Yay!
Yay!
So we promised not to go as long on this segment as we did on the last one. Sorry, there was a lot there. So just a couple quick notes. Sami Zayn, as we came into his music, he's believed to have or will be having surgery very soon for his shoulder. So get well soon, Sami. In the meantime, Kevin Owens is going to continue to talk smack about you, but we love you anyway.
Which we're going to hear from here in a couple minutes.
Yes, Murder Bear Cheeseburger. That's the code name for Kevin Owens. Hideo Itami, he gave us an update. He had a successful surgery. He's been walking around in an arm cast. He's actually, I believe, doing PR work in Japan right now. So good luck to him. He should be back in about 6 to 8 months.
We'll hear from him here in a bit, too.
We will hear from him in a bit, too. Side note on him, this was actually a freak accident and not wear and tear.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, speaking of Murder Bear Cheeseburger, Kevin Owens has been booked for future episodes of Monday Night Raw, apparently till the end of July, possibly for longer, so we could see his feud with John Cena continue for a little while longer.
Yeah, it appears that's going to be what's going on, because I saw the report that I went on WWE.com and looked it up myself, and it's like, wait, he's there, he's there, he's there, he's there, oh, he's there until the end of July, at the very least. All right, and it's not like, oh, hey, so-and-so's listening. His picture is there with all the, there's like 8 pictures. His is right there.
Yep. So, yep, it's, so it could be Kevin might be getting the call up soon. And, well, NXT does have their next special plan for August.
August 12th.
Yes, August 12th, I believe. So I have to see what happens there with Mr. Owens. Another quick note, Sheamus was spotted as one of the baddies, one of the nostalgic baddies in Michael Bay's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, where he will be playing none other than Rocksteady. They're going to turn him into a rhino. I actually freaked out when I saw the picture because I just saw the guy sitting there with the nose ring and the purple mohawk, and I know it's for Turtles, and I'm like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, wait, is that Bebop and Rocksteady? And you're like, yeah. And I had to go Google it for a second because I couldn't remember which one was the pig. And I was like, oh god, if they turn Sheamus into the pig, all I can hear is like swine jokes for the next 6 months. Like that's all I can hear on TV is just swine jokes. Oh god, please don't let him be the pig. And then I had to Google it and I'm like, okay, good, he's not the pig. Because I couldn't remember which one had the nose ring. I'm a bad geek girl like that.
Right, but yeah, those were her comments. I just scrolled up in my Skype chat. Those are like the exact words she used.
It's like, oh god, they're not going to turn him into a pig, are they?
Yeah. Anyway.
So, but that explains the mohawk, that explains the beard. Sheamus will be playing Rocksteady or Bebop, because I can't remember which one's which.
Rocksteady.
He is Rocksteady, okay, in the new Turtles movie, which could prove interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't really like the way they flattened out his hair in the picture, but we'll just have to see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes, but it explains the look.
Yes. Yes, it does.
And it also explains, because remember you said this to me the other day when we were watching Raw? He got a haircut a little bit.
He did. He did. He got cleaned up a little bit. Now we know why.
Now we know why.
Because, well, he had to get all prettied up for the movie.
Yeah.
But speaking of pretty, nice little transition. We have to talk about the awesome article that came out on WWE.com in which they interviewed the 4 horsewomen of NXT. Good God, somebody get this on my TV now. Which they talked to Bayley, Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Sasha Banks about NXT and Hunter and a variety of other different subjects. And holy crap, how awesome was it?
Oh, to quote it, how often... WWE.com, how often does Triple H comment on what you guys do? Does he ever give you guidance, or does he let you do your own thing? Bayley, he's amazing. He's like a papa. Sasha, Papa Hunter.
That's so cute.
They went,
well, to be fair, Sasha's on Tumblr, so she knows that we all call him Papa Hunter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, she's not really... The reports of her being hurt and everything and things she did, she may be banged up a little bit, but she hasn't denied that. But everything else that's being reported, she's denying, if you follow her on Tumblr, as we do.
Yeah, she's saying the reports that she's injured are false, so please do not believe those.
Yeah. Like, oh, she did so this and this and that. No. Anyway, getting back to the article, when they cleared it up. This was an amazing article. It really, really was. If you haven't read the interview, it's like a 5-page interview on WWE.com. All the four girls sit down, they talk to a WWE.com writer, I think this was done in Philly, because they were talking about how they were main eventing Philly that night.
Which, how awesome is that?
That is tremendous.
That the women are main eventing shows. That gives me so much hope. And if you go in and you read the article, they talk about how Hunter wants to specifically revolutionize women's wrestling. And he's putting his full support behind the girls.
And I came to this thought process of, if you're going to change everything, these four have to come up together. They cannot, they cannot come up separately. If you're going to do this, you got to bring them up together and let them show the world what it's all about.
Yeah. Four horsewomen, I'm down for that. A strong female stable, get that on my TV. Like, they did a test run with the BFFs. I want to see the four horsewomen. I want to see these four come up and just, like, kick everybody's butt, and then Bailey hugs them.
Right. Just let them, the four of them come up together to change over the dynamic of the division, and let them all fight each other. Let them be together. Whatever you want to do. Just give them the opportunity. If this takes 6 more months, I'm okay with that. Because let them dominate for 6 more months down in NXT. Because the goal for a future show is putting them, to any combination of these girls, in a main event.
I'm okay with this.
That's a plan.
We're seeing a revolution in women's wrestling. We're seeing the beginning of another golden age in women's wrestling, which is so vitally important for women and female fans of this show. Of NXT, of WWE, of anything, to see women, strong women that can kick butt and hold their own, and have women that look like them, have women that don't all look alike, that are just different, it's like you look at all four of them and they're their own person. They all stand out individually on their own.
Oh yeah, and like the one part of the article, you know, Becky came in and she wasn't herself because she was doing the jig, and they're like. Sasha was like, I like the jig dance. And Becky was like, I want this, like, completely washed away from the WWE Network. Can we get rid of it, please?
Yeah, Becky's a little embarrassed by it. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, it makes me so happy that they're throwing their weight behind the women. Because they haven't had that in such a long time. I don't know if they've really ever had that. Where they have somebody like Hunter in their corner who's willing to back them up, who's willing to push them, who's willing to really make sure that they're successful. I mean, you heard it. Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch stole TakeOver.
Yeah, yeah.
It's still being talked about. Nobody's really talking about any other match on that show. It's Samoa Joe and the girls' match.
That's it.
That's it. That's what's getting talked about.
And Finn's entrance. That's it.
And Finn's entrance. But, yeah, the fact that Sasha and Becky are one of the highlights of that show, and that you even hear the announcers say it, and they've actually replayed it in the recaps, which we'll get into in a minute, that this is one of the finest matches we've ever had, and it will go down in history as that, says a lot.
Right, and to back up your point from before, in this whole interview, they're like, we see, you know, we were people in the fan. They told us one story about Becky Lynch and a fan, and they're like, we were them. Now we're in the ring. We're different. We're now the people in the ring. We're ourselves in that ring. It is just tremendous. They're giving us opportunity. It took them a while to get to this point, but now they're giving the chance. Legit, give them a chance. They're giving these girls, these women, chance. And at the end of the article, because we gotta get to NXT, they asked the question, do you call it Divas Wrestling or Women's Wrestling? Becky, women's. Bailey, women's. Sasha, women's. Charlotte, I say women's. So women's wrestling.
Yeah, buddy.
And Bailey's like, that's what I grew up watching.
Yeah. I love Sasha's comment about how the guys are like, wait, I have to follow that. And she's like, yeah, you do.
Yeah. And they make comment about how Tyler Breeze came up to one of them and talked to them and pointed things out in the match. And he, little minor specific things that he enjoyed. So, you know, before it was like, it shows the girls were like, oh, it's a girls match. We're not watching it. The guys are watching.
Yeah. The guys are watching. They're taking notes. They're impressed. And it can spark some real competition between the guys and the girls because you have guys walking up and going, oh man, I gotta follow that. Yeah, you do. So go follow it.
All you gotta do. Follow it.
That's all you gotta do. It's gonna bring out either the best or the worst in someone, you know, and it inspires competition among the talent because for years it's been stated that the girls have been held back because they don't want them to out-wrestle the guys. Now that's getting kind of put aside by Hunter, and it's, you know what, if they out-wrestle the guys, they out-wrestle the guys.
It's up to the guys to step up.
it's up to the guys to step up. It's not up to us to hold the women back. It's up to the guys to step up. And if they're not going to do it, that's on them. When we were talking about, I think, a couple months ago about the WWE's next top star, why can't their next top star be a woman?
Or a group of women.
Or a group of women. Why does it have to be a man? You know, they had their next top star in AJ. It could be Paige. It could be Naomi. It could be Bayley. It could be Charlotte. It could be Sasha Banks. It could be anybody.
There's something special there with Sasha Banks.
Ooh. There's something special with Bayley and Sasha Banks. Bayley's going to get over. Bayley will be over with the little girls.
Yeah.
Huge with the little girls because of just the gimmick.
Yeah.
That's not going to get too hard to get over. Sasha's got something special with her. And we'll get into NXT here in a second, but because I want to talk about Alexa Bliss too. But they're doing things with the women in NXT that makes me so happy to see that it's like you almost don't want them to send them up to the main roster because you know they're not going to get that same treatment.
And that's why I said if they're going to send them up, bring them together because they have a better shot of getting over together than not together as a four woman group. Just,
oh no, I say bring them in and have them take over and have them basically just be like, this is our division now. Get out.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm just saying, bring them up together as a collective and let them change the culture of the WWE Women's Division.
There. Absolutely, I'm down for this.
Yeah.
Book it.
Book it, simple, to the point. Alright, we gotta get into NXT a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Alright, so the show opened with Kevin Owens coming out to Sami Zayn's music on a John Cena t-shirt.
Kevin, cheeseburger, you adorable, adorable a-hole you.
Yeah.
Bless you.
The crowd was chanting, John Cena sucks, and Owens remarked that they'll chant that Cena, but not Sami Zayn, because, well, he sucks too, and they weren't happy about that. He said, the one good thing that nobody will ever hear Sami Zayn's stupid music ever again. Owens talked about how he's not a bad guy. He said Zayn won the match. Owens warned him. What would happen? He took Zayn out. Owen said he did become the NXT, did it because of the NXT championship, and that makes him a good person. He said that when Samoa Joe came out at TakeOver, he chose to let him live because he's a good person. He wanted to give everyone a happy moment, a happy ending, which makes him a good person.
Totally.
He said the idea that he's scared of Joe is as ridiculous as the colors of John Cena's merch. He turned his attention to John Cena and said, Elimination Chamber, Cena will see the real champ is here. And he did the same thing. Like, he cut an awesome promo on SmackDown. Just throwing that out there. Really good. Go watch
mm-hmm.
it. Go watch it. William Regal came out. He warned Owens that he's walking a thin line. Owens justified headbutting Regal and TakeOver because Regal put his hands on him first. Then Regal said, that's the only reason.
Yeah. 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 That was awesome.
It was awesome.
It's just Regal's like, yeah, and that's the only reason you still work here.
Yeah. Regal ran through the guys Owens had stretchered out. He included Hideo Tommy on there, and Owens was like, I had nothing to do with it. Wasn't my fault. And Regal was like, alright, whatever. We then heard from Solomon Crowe came out. He said he's sick of this garbage. He said Owens claims he wants people to earn it. You know, because he came out in the beginning and said he was going to, he thought about doing an NXT championship open, but, you know, people have to earn the shot at it and just not give it to anybody. But in reality, Owens is scared because he knows he could lose the championship to anyone. Crow said that after Owens had done what has done to Zayn, he's nothing but a piece of crap. Owens then said, you know, Crow has actually now earned himself an opportunity. That's okay with Regal. Regal made the main event. Owens said that he had said, you know, he put these people in a stretcher. So the list is Neville, Riley, Zayn, and well,
Zayn.
And then, well, Crow, you'll get added to that list tonight.
I'd just like to point out that he beat Adrian Neville so bad that Adrian Neville ended up on the main roster. Just saying.
Oh.
But I loved his reaction of, hey, I had nothing to do with the Tommy.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. Hideo Tommy gave an injury update on himself. We talked about that. He'll be back in a few months, and, you know, he's going to come forever. I did it. And he'll come back stronger than ever. Zack Ryder was at NXT TakeOver, and apparently him and Mojo Rawley became friends.
Kind of. Mojo's back.
Yay, stay hype. We then had Bayley taking on Emma. Emma has new evil music. It starts with the Casio. The Casio, and then it goes into the evil music. She had Dana Brooke with her at ringside. Emma was very aggressive, hard shots to Bailey. One point wrapped her around the bottom rope and was pulled on her hair, choking her with her hair in the ropes. Kind of fun with, and cool and different. Bailey made her comeback with a nice suplex, went to the middle rope, got caught. Emma yanked her off and locked in the submission for the win. Solid match. They could have had better, but they needed more time. Simple to the point.
Yeah, they were a little rushed. I think if they had a little bit more time, it would have been better. But I kind of like the new evil Emma.
I'm okay with evil Emma.
Wasn't necessarily liking the lipstick she was wearing, but I'm liking evil Emma.
After the match, Emma and Dana attacked Bailey before Charlotte came out to make the save. Dana and Emma got control, though, with the numbers, and Dana nailed her like a fireman's carrot type slam thing. So Dana and Emma, the heels, have the advantage after what came down at Takeover.
Yep.
We then had Samson and Wallace taking on Blake and Murphy. Oh my god, I still can't watch their entrance. It's hard to watch, even though the Sparkle Princess Fairy is there.
No, Evil Sparkle Fairy.
Evil Sparkle Fairy, that's it. My bad.
Alexa Bliss, Evil Sparkle Fairy.
Evil Sparkle Fairy. B&M dominated match. Suplex Splash combo for the win. After the match, Alexa hit the Sparkle Splash on either Samson or Wallace. I couldn't tell them apart.
Samson.
Samson, thank you.
I want to talk about that for a second. One, love the Evil Sparkle Fairy. I love that she's heel. I'm digging it. Completely, totally, 100% digging it. They couldn't get all the blue out of her hair, so the red fades to the purple. Very nice.
Which is good, because it matches her gear.
Matches her gear.
This, you know, the stripe in the middle. Yeah.
I need to talk about the Sparkle Splash on Samson. They let a diva hit a move on a guy.
Yeah.
Can we just talk about how amazing that is?
It's pretty cool.
And how the fact that that hasn't happened
in forever.
Forever. I mean, that just the fact that they didn't just tease it, they let her do it. And they sold it like a legit thing. I was blown away by that. That was amazing. And I understand that they're not confined to what they had, you know, basically to the TV standards for the network. They do try to adhere to them as much as they can, but the fact that they let the girl hit a move on the guy blows my mind.
Because
that was amazing. Please do more of that.
Because it's not, the man is not hitting the woman, they can get away with it.
Yeah, because the man is not hitting the woman, they can get away with it. But for the love of God, please do more of that.
Then we heard from Alexa.
The best!
Blake Murphy, congratulations on your victory tonight, guys. But Alexa, yeah. I have got to ask, how did this whole relationship come about?
Great question, Devin. Did you learn that in journalism school? Let me make it simple for you. Blake and Murphy are winners. I am a winner. And winners always seem to gravitate towards each other. Now let's compare my situation to Carmella, the princess of Staten Island. Do you know what Staten Island is famous for? A garbage dump. So Carmella's been around trash her entire life, so honestly, I'm not surprised she's aligned herself with Enzo and Big Cass. Now, next week, Carmella and I have a match, and I'm going to send her right back to that garbage dump she came from.
I like heel Alexa.
She reminds you of someone, doesn't she?
She reminds me of Trish.
A young Trish, yeah.
A young Trish. She reminds me, and this is going to date me, how old I am, which really isn't that old, but tells you how long I've been watching. I remember when Trish first debuted, and Alexa has very similar facial features to her, but she's got her two guys.
She has her TNA.
In B&M. And she's... Oh, God, that's... Yeah, let's not call them B&M. Because, yeah.
They're B-A-M-F. That's their...
Yeah, that's better. B-A-M-F. Bamf.
I don't know if that's any... Because badass mother. Anyway.
Bamf is better.
Bamf.
But I like that I like that reminder that she's a young Trish. Because the promo that she cut as a heel was great.
Better than anything she did as a babyface.
Better than anything she did as a babyface. I mean, as a baby, it's like she's this cute little sparkle fairy cupcake type character.
Which is good.
Which is great, you know, and as a face, she was good, but it's like, you know, she just was kind of missing that spark.
Well, she was confident. The one thing I could say in this promo, that lacked in other promos, she was confident in this
promo. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm digging the Evil Sparkle Fairy. Digging it a lot. Please continue it.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing Alexa versus Carmella next week.
Finn Balor took on Ty Dillinger. Yay. Finn got worked over for a while, made his comeback. Sling Blade, running dropkick, double stomp, simple to the point. Finn Balor wins.
Yay.
What does the future hold for Jason Jordan? I don't think anyone actually asked the question, but people were wondering. He found a new partner. Chad Gable wants to be a new partner. Doesn't seem like Jordan wants to be Gable's partner. Gable had a towel with his name on it.
Yay.
Main event, Kevin Owens taking on Solomon Crow. Owens got the Crow to come after him on that side, took control for a while. Crow attempted to go to the top rope, but Owens knocked him off and just fell. He fell hard to the outside. Kevin Owens beat him down for a while, tossed him out of the ring. Crow crawled back in the ring before a 10 count, got tossed out again, got back on the apron. Made a little bit of a comeback, but Owens kind of ran off. Fans were chanting for Joe. Owens didn't like that. Running in the corner by Crow, but then got caught by Owens. Senton, pop-up powerbomb. Winner, Kevin Owens. Simple, to the point. Good main event.
Very good main event.
After the match, Owens tossed Crow out of the ring, was going to send him off with the powerbomb until Joe's music hit, came to the ring. They stared down one another before Owens left the ring.
Did you get goosebumps? I got goosebumps.
I have a little bit of goosebumps, and he goes, next time that's you. Pointing to Crow being beaten down, you being Joe, and then, you should have stayed in oblivion. Ouch.
Burn. Yeah. Very, very, very nice episode of NXT. Looking forward to next week.
Good follow-up from last week.
Yes, very good follow-up. And I say we follow this up with our next break.
Really quick, we'll be back. Really quick.
Yeah, really quick break. We'll be back, and when we come back, we're talking Elimination Chamber. We're going to mix a little SmackDown in there. And, well, we've got a mini discussion regarding Dean Ambrose that we'll throw in with Elimination Chamber. So
plus,
you're listening to
plus, tweet a week.
Plus two of the week. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. For our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And now we're going to do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting no more, no more. It can't.
Graves. I, too, find it best to deal with relationship issues in the middle of arenas full of people, in reference to Rusev and Lana. Corey Graves, I totally thought that guy was going to claim to be Ambrose's son. Well,
you know.
Corey Graves, there's a legal loophole in Long Island. You can steal police vehicles in the event of a WWE Championship match scenario.
Okay.
Hideo Tommy, I will be better than ever, hashtag even stronger, hashtag never back down, and he shows a picture of his cut open arm.
Ew.
That's closed.
Ew, I know, I saw the picture, so like, ew.
Yeah. To which Bailey sent him a message that says, get better soon, Hideo. And Hideo replied, please give me a hug when I come back, haha, thank you, Bailey. And she tweeted a little picture of blushing smiley faces.
Yeah.
I ship it.
Ship it hard.
Ship it hard, man. Kevin Owens. Listening to Shania Twain while sitting in a massage chair at the airport before a flight is a fantastic way to start any day. Hashtag badass. Laying out Cena on Raw gets you a first-class seat when you fly on at U.S. Airways. Not bad. Can't wait to see what I get when I beat him Sunday.
All right, literally. That one.
I love it when I steal his tweet.
Is that it?
No. WWE, we're not just good for girls, we're just good. Sasha Banks, Charlotte, Bailey, Becky Lynch, in reference to the article that they released, to which Bailey replied, 10-year-old me wouldn't believe that I'd be part of something so special.
So how many tweets do you have?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Okay, you still done? You have some more?
No, I'm done.
I have 8.
I beat him!
I had 9, but you stole one. Anyway, Dolph Ziggler, at Planet Fitness, buzzing about some pretty boy dudes playing on his phone the whole workout. Guess I keep missing him. Think they're talking about you, Dolph. Keep it 5 stars. Rusev, Lana, we need to be together. Rusev doesn't know how to swipe right. Hashtag Raw. 3-man booth. Stardust versus the man that Gravity forgot. When did Stan Lee become a booker? Let's talk about the whole Marvel Arrow thing with Stardust. 3-man booth. Arrive. Powerbomb. Leave. Hashtag fight Owens fight. Petey Williams. And the Slammy for biggest double cross of the year goes to... Drum roll, please. Destination America. Ethan Carter. Keep your, quote-unquote, shitty little boots off my lawn, Roderick Strong. Them funny words. He replied, not only are they going to be on your lawn, but your couch as well. After that, I will drink your beer.
Oh, not the beer.
Going for the beer. And keep it 5-star goes. Lots of big news going on today, but I think the biggest news is that Emma is single. Wonder what she thinks of Buffalo Wild Wings. Tweet of the week.
Wow. Okay, well, now we're going to jump into Elimination Chamber.
Yes, because we have some opinions and one real opinion in the main event. We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. So, where do you want to start? Because I don't have the card pulled up.
We will start with the pre-show. Wait, there's no match on the pre-show. Just Daniel Bryan on Miz TV. So the Miz is back, and so is Daniel Bryan.
Should be entertaining.
Should be entertaining. We will start with the matchup that we're both looking forward to the most. In one corner, you have former NXT champion Adrian Neville. In the other corner, the man who lost that title to Adrian Neville, the believer, Bo Dallas. The inspirational Bo Dallas. By the way, you can play along. Go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadio. Or tomorrow, the pick sheet will be there. You can make your picks as well. Or tweet them at WildTalkRadio. Anyway,
yes.
Continue.
This is going to be so entertaining.
I'm looking forward. Like, a lot of people are just going to discount this match. I'm looking forward to this. This is like the second match on the show I'm looking forward to. Yeah, actually, third, because the main event and the Owens match are big matches. But this is going to be fun and entertaining.
This is going to be fun and entertaining because they're doing a-hole Bo Dallas. They're not doing the kind of half-insincere Bo Dallas where he's still trying to be a face. Oh, no. No, we've just gone past that, and we're now at a-hole Bo Dallas where he was right before he came up in NXT. This is the Bo Dallas that I love because he's just an insincere jerk, and he's so good at it. It just works for him.
It does.
And the fact that he's been mocking Neville and he's been attacking him and he's just been a jerk about it. Love it. Absolutely love it. Now that being said, I think Neville's gonna win.
Yeah. I want Bo to win though. I'm gonna pick Bo Dallas.
I want Bo to win, but I think Neville's gonna win.
Yeah, no, I gotta pick Neville. I gotta go with him. I gotta go with Neville, but it'll be entertaining for 5-7 minutes.
Yeah, it'll be an entertaining 5 to 7 minutes. But yeah, I'm actually looking forward to this match just because for exactly that, it will be entertaining.
My ears perk up when Bo Dallas is on TV. I like when Bo Dallas is on TV. We need more Bo Dallas on TV. A lot of people don't like Bo Dallas. I like Bo Dallas. She likes Bo Dallas because we believe.
Yeah, I believe in Bo. I really do want him to win. I just don't know if he's going to because I don't think they're ready to hang another loss on Neville just yet because they're pushing Neville hard.
Yeah, and you know, Captain Mushroom can only go so far.
Yes, Captain Mushroom can only go so far. But, yeah.
Anyway, next matchup on the show. It will be for the Intercontinental Championship. You have R-Truth, Sheamus, King Barrett, Ryback, Dolph Ziggler, maybe Rusev.
Yeah. News item that we kind of held back for this. Rusev was injured at the SmackDown tapings. He's injured either his lower leg, his ankle, or his foot. Nobody's really entirely sure what got hurt. If you actually watch SmackDown, you see where he hurt himself. It's when he goes out of the ring and lands awkwardly, and he was favoring his leg. After that, they had him in a boot at the airport. He wasn't allowed to walk on it. So it's anybody's guess at this point if Rusev is, in fact, in the match. If he is not in the match, there are rumors he will be replaced by Bray Wyatt. There has been no update given at this point regarding Rusev's condition by WWE. It's probably going to be a day of call for them.
Look around 5 p.m. on Sunday for an update, most likely.
Yeah.
Because that's when they pulled Bryan last month.
Yeah, they're going to do it day of. They're going to keep an eye on him pretty much up until the day of the pay-per-view, and then they will make the decision. But Bray Wyatt could be going into the Elimination Chamber. That being said, as the match stands right now with Rusev in, who do you say wins?
Not really sure. By the way, really quickly, going back to the Bo Dallas match, ask the Magic 8-Ball, will Bo Dallas win at the Elimination Chamber? The Magic 8-Ball said yes. Just wanted to throw that in there.
The 8-Ball Bo leaves.
The 8-Ball Bo leaves just like we do, but we went with Neville. As far as this match goes, alright, let's eliminate people. It's not gonna be Archer. It's not gonna be Rusev because he's hurt.
Right.
I don't see it being Ryback.
I don't see it being Barrett.
I don't see it being Barrett. That leaves Sheamus and Ziggler. I'm sitting here for a second going, I need to make a pick, but I don't know who to make a pick.
See, to me, it's down to Sheamus, Ryback, and Ziggler.
I'm going with Ziggler. I'm going with Ziggler. Because I think the plan is to go to Ziggler, Rusev, and you can do it with the Intercontinental title. I don't see them putting on... No, they could put it on Sheamus.
I can see it going on Sheamus.
But I don't know if I want it on Sheamus.
Well, here's the thing. You got to put it on somebody. It kind of makes sense to have it on a heel, because then you can have the heel chase, or you can have the faces chase.
Damn it, you're right. Yeah, Sheamus. Sheamus wins.
Sheamus, yeah, I'm going Sheamus.
Yeah, I'm changing my pick back to, we're going with Sheamus, because that makes an excellent point. We asked the Magic 8-Ball, will Sheamus win the Intercontinental Championship? Most likely. So, the Magic 8-Ball agrees. The next matchup on the list is the other Elimination Chamber matchup, which will feature, alright.
The entire tag division minus Luke Harper and Eric Rowan.
To be more specific, the New Day defending against Cesaro and Kid, Los Matadores, the Ascension, Los Lucha Dragons, and the PTP, the Primetime Players. Now, to eliminate some teams, the Primetime Players aren't going to win, the Ascension aren't going to win, Lucha Dragons aren't going to win, so we're down to the Los Matadors aren't going to win, so we're down to Lucha Dragon, New Day, and Cesaro and Kid. I'm eliminating Lucha Dragons. I'm down to Cesaro and Kid and New Day. Do you agree with at least that much?
No.
Oh, really?
I would keep Lucha Dragons in. Lucha Dragons are over.
But as far as winning, do you think they're going to win?
They could. It would be an upset.
It would be an upset, but I don't see them winning.
I don't see Tyson and Cesaro winning, and honestly, I want to see it go on somebody different, and if they're really not going to put Luke and Eric in that match, I want to see the Lucha Dragons win. I'm not sure they will, but that's who I want to win.
So you're going Lucha Dragon?
I'm going, no. I said I want it.
I want it. Okay, I'm just making sure.
That being said, who's actually going to win?
New Day sucks.
Yeah, New Day's gonna retain. It doesn't make sense to take the titles off of them unless you're gonna do a surprise upset. I still maintain Luke and Eric are gonna find a way in that match. They've been way too quiet.
I'm going Cesaro and Kid. I think it's time to get their belts back, because then they could have excellent matches with Luke and Eric.
True. Oh, and a quick note on the IC title elimination chamber, Kane Kittens. If Bray goes in that match, I'm calling Bray to win. It's completely wrong, and he won't, but I'm calling Bray.
Call him Bray. Note that down, Kane Kittens. She hasn't put an asterisk somewhere. Anyway, I'm going Cesaro and Kid. Asked the Magic 8-Ball, will the New Day retain the tag team titles? My reply is no, so then I went with Cesaro and Kid without a doubt. So there you go. And next up on the list is for the Divas Championship, Nikki Bella, Naomi, and Paige.
This is a toughie, but I think Nikki's reign is over.
It's got to be at this point. I really believe it. It's got to be at this point.
They're doing a three-way so Nikki doesn't have to take the pin. My gut is telling me they're going to put it on Paige, but I want to see Naomi win. I think it would be cool to see Naomi win, just because I think she deserves it a little bit more. But my gut's saying Paige.
Going back to the tag one match, the man goes, Luke and Eric will probably chase whoever wins. Go with it. So who'd you go with?
Screw it, Naomi.
Going back to that one last time made you decide again.
Naomi's on a roll. It doesn't make sense to crush her. You can have Nikki chase because Nikki's a face, Bree's a face, Paige is a face. You're face heavy in the Divas division right now. You can kind of do with Naomi what you did with AJ. Let her have the title for a while. Let her be dominant with the title. And then she gets tricked, and that's how she loses it. But you could potentially have her carry the title from now to Rumble, now to Mania, however long you want her to hold it.
Even if it's still SummerSlam.
Even if it's still SummerSlam, but let her have a nice initial run with it.
You have to establish a third dominant diva, and right now
That needs to be Naomi. She's got all the qualifications to do it.
Yeah, I'm going with Naomi. The Magic 8-Ball goes with Nikki Bella. The man's in charge goes, I see Paige chasing Naomi. Paige just came back to Mina and refused to help Naomi win. I can see that totally happening. And they are trying to take over as a new family of the Divas division. So, I agree. Naomi is going to win the title. But the Magic 8-Ball says Nikki Bella retained. We now down to the final two matches on the show. And we'll start with the champion versus champion non-title match, Kevin Owens, John Cena.
This is going to be good.
Oh my god, this is going to be match of the night, maybe.
I don't know if this is going to be match of the night, but this is going to be really, really good. I say Cheeseburger wins. Cheeseburger is Kevin Owens, King Kittens.
Yeah. So, we've talked about this on the Raw Post at 11:10 p.m. Eastern every Monday night. They've done a great job building up Kevin Owens. Really, really good job. They've made him look strong. It would suck for him to lose to John Cena this close. As we reported earlier, he's reportedly on the road going forward for a little bit. John Cena is a momentum killer, a.k.a. Bray Wyatt.
Rusev.
Well, Rusev went 10 months before. Anyway, doesn't matter. John Cena can be a momentum killer. Kevin Owens needs a win to start off this run. If you're establishing NXT as the hot brand of your company, you cannot have the champion lose.
Yeah, that's the thing. Kevin Owens didn't have the belt. I would say Cena potentially wins, but because Owens is the NXT champion and he's establishing the NXT title as a prize that anybody can come and get over the US title, Owens really has to win this. And it just makes sense to have him win, especially since it's non-title. Owens is going over. Because you don't have the NXT title on the line. You don't have the US title to worry about. It's easy to put Owens over here. You have him go on a little bit of a run, a feud with John Cena. The two go back and forth. And Cena can eventually beat Owens.
Eventually, out of the gate,
first match, Owens beats John Cena.
It's got to be Kevin Owens. 8-Ball says it's decidedly so Kevin Owens wins. Kevin Owens said beating John Cena means, hey, I can be in the Money in the Bank. It's a stepping stone. John Cena for Kevin Owens is a stepping stone.
Wouldn't that be interesting if the NXT champion was the Money in the Bank holder?
That would be amazing. Kevin Owens has a bright future. Don't squash it.
Yeah, Owens is real close, I think, to coming up.
He's going to be on a little bit of a run.
They're giving him a test run to see how he does. And depending how this goes, we may see him sooner than later. So, because all they really had to do with Owens then in NXT is fine-tune him. The same thing is going to hold true for Joe. They just really have to fine-tune Joe.
And sign him to a long-term contract.
Which, if they offer him enough money, that he will. But they're giving Owens the dry run. They're introducing him to the audience. They're establishing him as that badass character. And, yeah, I mean, it makes sense for Owens to win. To have John Cena beat him kills it. Just kills the momentum. Absolutely kills it.
Yeah, so Kevin Owens needs to go over. I think we're very clear on that. Illuminati's in chat room chimes in. But if Owens and Cena will continue to feud, I see Cena winning first match, then Owens winning, and then, who knows, rubber match. I agree. I see no benefit for Cena winning this feud. Degrades the NXT championship. Yeah, it does. They're establishing this brand. You cannot hurt this champion. Vince McMahon, listen to me. Keep champions valuable.
The only way I want to see Cena win this match is if Owens goes too far. And Cena wins via, like, DQ or something.
Or if Samoan shows up and interferes.
That's the only way I want to see Cena win this match. If Cena beats Owens clean in the middle of that ring, there will be rioting. Because that should not happen. You're setting Owens up as your number one heel in NXT, and he's coming up as a heel on the main roster. You need to keep him strong.
Pretty much, yes.
Because they can reference back to this match, and any challenger, all Finn Balor has to do is look at Kevin Owens and go, oh, well, you got your butt whooped by John Cena. You're not so bad. You're not so tough. It ruins his credibility.
And you need stars. Build
you
Kevin
need
Owens
stars.
Up. Build Kevin Owens up. He's ready. All right, main event time. WWE title, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins. We have a theory.
Oh, my God, this is going to be so good.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
But yeah, we have a theory. I want to see Dean Ambrose win the title. I think it's time Seth Rollins gets his a little bit. You let Dean have the title for a month to 6 weeks. You have Seth Rollins chase, and Dean gives it back. You could do it on Raw. You could do it on pay-per-view. Whatever the timing allows. And it makes sense.
Now, the reason why this makes sense, the Authority needs to get theirs. Because...
Yeah.
It's about time the Authority it's time someone sticks it to the Authority a little bit. We know the long-term plan is to maybe do Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship. Cool. We'll get you there. Here's how. Dean Ambrose wins the championship this Sunday at Elimination Chamber. You're going, how does that get them there? Listen, you do the rematch at Money in the Bank. You can either have one, Seth Rollins win it back then, or let Dean Ambrose continue to continue on, you take it to Battleground. That's where this feud, you know, ends. Seth Rollins becomes champion again. Now, we had this theory planned out last night, and then, oh, hey, news broke today, which sort of screws up the whole timeline for this, but it still works. Once Seth Rollins wins back the championship, whether it's Money in the Bank or Battleground, the next night, Brock Lesnar shows up. Hey, hey, here I come. I'm kicking your ass, Seth Rollins. Remember me?
Well, what's interesting is you have Dean win the title on Sunday.
Yes.
Seth chases. Seth and Dean go at Money in the Bank. Seth's bid fails.
Yes.
And Dean remains champion. And guess who shows up? Because he's showing up at Battleground. He could either show up at Money in the Bank or the night after Money in the Bank.
He's scheduled for the night after.
Brock Lesnar. And you do Dean Ambrose versus Brock Lesnar. Dean would absolutely get his butt kicked, but it would be a very, very unique combination that I wouldn't mind seeing.
Yeah, that question was just answered. Any chance of Ambrose keeping this title to face Lesnar at SummerSlam or whenever?
I don't see him going to SummerSlam with it, but I would like to see him go to Battleground with it, and I would like to see Lesnar versus Ambrose. I want to see... And we were talking about this last night when we were prepping the show. Seth is the architect. He's the genius behind the Shield. And he assumes Dean is just an idiot, that he's this idiot lunatic. Dean isn't an idiot. He's not the smartest guy in the world, but he's clever. And he's clever enough to outdo Seth. That's the thing. Dean is continually one-upping Seth and getting Seth at every turn. Because he's clever. So I'd love to see, at Chamber, Dean outsmart Seth. And he gets the title. And then he is the Authority's nightmare until Brock Lesnar shows up. And that's honestly how you bring Brock Lesnar back, is Dean's got the title. They cannot get the title away from him. They don't have a reason to strip him of it. So what do? They call Paul Heyman and they bring back Brock Lesnar and they point Lesnar at Dean and say, kill him. And you either have Lesnar get the title back or you somehow have Dean survive.
Because here's the thing. LeMann goes, oh my God, you are absolutely right. Anyway, putting that one out. We've had Seth Rollins as the guy who will do anything to win. He's the corporate champion. He will use any underhanded measure to get the championship back on his shoulder to keep it. It's cool. Sometimes those guys need to get theirs. Think Hunter and Rock. They traded the belt back and forth in 2000, and quite often in this same type of role. It makes sense. Dean can get this belt and run for a little bit with it. He's a Mick Foley. Mick had his belt for a few weeks, lost it. Never hurt his career. It only established him as a player in the division. Just pointing that one out. But you need someone who's entertaining right now. You need an entertaining champion. We had the Brute. We had the Beast. We had Brock Lesnar as your champion. We don't need to go back to that in Roman Reigns just yet. Because Roman Reigns is not as entertaining as Dean Ambrose. I want to be entertained on Monday and Thursday nights. That's what I want.
Yeah, and Dean just holding that title in front of Seth and the Authority, like, nanner, 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 I've got it, and there's nothing you could do, for a little while, would be absolutely hilarious, because then it's, how are you going to get it back? It challenges the Authority. It challenges everything they stand for, that Dean now has that title, and they have to get it away from him. They have to get it back. Their worst fear has been realized, and it's just, it would be really, really compelling. And honestly, I would rather see Dean get the title right now than Roman. Because Dean is over. Dean is being accepted by the fan base. It's all completely natural. And WWE is seeing that. They're seeing that Dean is being accepted by the fans. That he's getting over and he's more over than Roman. That Dean doesn't have the size, but he's got the skill. And he's got the charm. And that's what you need in a champion.
Because the thing lies, if Seth Rollins wins clean, who do you go to next?
Exactly. Because Brock isn't scheduled to appear until after Money in the Bank. And you have to find Seth somebody for Money in the Bank. Unless he's not going to defend.
That being said, I'm picking Seth Rollins to win.
I'm picking Dean. I'm wrong, but I'm picking Dean.
I want our theory to work. I really, really do. No, screw it. I'll be wrong. I'm picking Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, it makes sense. It would be super entertaining, but I'm picking Dean. Because...
Why not?
Why not? You know, it's just the look on everybody's faces when Dean Ambrose wins the title would be worth it.
You want to sell network subscriptions? How did Dean Ambrose win the title? Go order the WWE Network for only $9.99 because your free subscription
is up. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's something different. It's something unexpected. It's a change. And it doesn't have to be long. Like I said, 4 to 6 weeks max for his first title run. Seth gets it back or Brock gets it back.
You killed Ryback's momentum in 2011, 12, whenever it was when CM Punk beat him. Don't kill the momentum now. You had a goal with The Rock. You have a goal with Brock. But here you can change it because you have two more events to get the title back off of Seth Rollins. Onto Seth Rollins. Dean is a short-term champion because it changes television, makes it entertaining. It's something different to see.
Yeah, you just have Dean be a transitional in his first run, and what that will do is that will elevate him into that main event scene where now you can put Dean into the title picture, jazz it up a little bit, and Dean can always go back into that title picture now that he's a former champion.
Right, because if the plan is to have Seth Rollins win and beat Dean Ambrose and then beat Roman Reigns, then only lose to Brock Lesnar, what does that do for you? Nothing.
Because, yeah, it hurts Roman and Dean.
Because guess what? Here's the thing. Brock's not becoming champion again. They've been there, done that. They're not giving the belt to Brock. So there'll be shenanigans whenever he gets his title shot. So, yeah, you can switch up the title now. There's Money in the Bank coming up. Anything is possible.
Because think about this. Say Brock doesn't beat Dean at Battleground. Say Dean Ambrose finds a way to beat Brock Lesnar.
All right,
think of what that would do for him.
It would do wonders for him. It would skyrocket him up levels like, you know, it should have Roman Reigns, but Roman Reigns wasn't ready.
Dean's ready.
Dean has the charisma and Dean has all the tools to make it work. Especially in this landscape right now.
I agree.
Put the title on Dean.
The Magic 8-Ball says, outlook good.
For Dean?
For Dean Ambrose to win the WWE Championship.
Well, we're all three wrong, but...
You know.
We're going with it.
I know in my heart what's happening. I know who's going to win, but it's... Like,
but I know what the better choice is, too.
I know what the better choice is, yeah. I know what I want to see on my TV on Monday. I know what I want to recap next Monday night on the Raw Post Show. Dean Ambrose is champion. That's what I want to recap.
Same.
That was our Elimination Chamber preview.
Yes, so we will be back next week to let you know what happened on Elimination Chamber in detail. We'll recap a little bit on the Raw Post Show, but, well, we've got other shows on this network, don't we?
Yeah, we do, including CB Radio Saturday Night Midnight is live right here on the Wall Talk Radio Network. Hashtag Blame Rob. CBRadioLive.com is a website. CB Radio WTR is the Twitter. Cigarette Butts and Bandanas is the Facebook address. And LeMans goes, then again, WWE can get in their own way at times. They really, really can. Anyway, we'll preview more of that on Saturday night on CB Radio. Sunday at Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that happens at Elimination Chamber at WTR Sunday night, facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Monday at Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that happens on that show. Next Thursday night is another edition of The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk NXT, SmackDown, and recap Elimination Chamber. You can follow the show on Twitter at WTRD_rack, facebook.com/WTRrack, rackradioshow.com is the website, youtube.com/WTRrack is the YouTube channel, subscribe to it. You can follow me on the Twitter at wildtalkradio, facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LANSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. There is a link on my website to get to it. And, well, you know, don't forget to check out the Raw Post Show. Don't forget to check out this show next week. Don't forget to check out all the other fine programming on this network. Please also check out our very fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay. We will see you next week. Bye!